Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight, this event is being televised live on C-SPAN. And if you're at home watching C-SPAN on a Saturday night, I hope they find your body soon. Before your cats get to it.
Colin Jost doing the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday, which President Biden spoke at.
There are so many incredible news organizations here tonight. Also, a few credible ones.
That's a play on words. It kind of went over people's heads. Incredible versus credible.
The Washington Post is here. Washington Post. They were the ones taking your coats at the door. Please be sure to tip. Fox News is here tonight. It's the end of an era. Rupert Murdoch stepped down at Fox News, which is strange. I didn't think there was a step down from Fox News.
It's pretty funny. I mean, it's funny. Oh, it's mean. So what? Come on. Laugh a little.
Trump media is here. Trump media. Not at a table, just screaming loudly in the corner to no one.
You know, that's an interesting joke, but that joke misses a fundamental fact. Trump may be the angry guy screaming to massive crowds, right? I mean, I know the liberal elites, the media leaders and so forth would like to depict it as Trump just texting in all capitals whenever he's on. In fact, he texted about how this, you know, he truthed, still cracks me up, about how this is unfunny and no good and worthless or whatever. The quote, you get the point. Yeah, but he's not sending that to four people. I mean, every rally he goes to is packed. Still packed, right? Unlike Biden rallies where they have to put in the teleprompter, chant four more years, you pause. I'm not kidding. That's really a part of it. So you'd like to characterize it as screaming loudly in the corner to yourself, but it's screaming loudly on a podium to thousands of people again and again and again and again. That's where the reporting and the perspective kind of misses the reality that there are massive numbers of people that support former President Trump and also massive numbers of people that can't stand him at all. But don't make it seem like it's all just him by himself, right?
Wordle is here tonight. Sorry. I meant the New York Times.
Good one, sir.
I forgot they do stuff in addition to puzzles. I have to say, it's not a great sign when the only thing keeping a print media company alive are games people play on their phones. Too chilling for you guys? This room just froze faster than Mitch McConnell.
He's pretty good. It's pretty funny. We got David on the follow-up. I see it.
And I have to say apologies to the Times, but as a Staten Islander, I still get all my news from the New York Post. Thank you. The only paper where the front page always has the same 200-point font, whether the headline is World War III to start tomorrow or Central Park owl dead in building collision.
It's so accurate.
The New York Post is like having the New York Times summarized for you by a crackhead.
I love the Post, man. It really is. He's right, though.
The Times will say, a border deal continues to evade Congress. And the Post is like, these Mexicans are taking my stuff.
Oh, man. So, you know, who was he targeting? Well, obviously Trump, obviously me. It targets everybody in the room. It's a roast. That's the idea of it. But certainly many times targeting the current president.
It's also wonderful to be back in Washington. I love being in Washington. The last time I was in D.C., I left my cocaine at the White House. Luckily, the president was able to put it to good use for his State of the Union.
That's a rewarmed Trump joke, by the way.
I'm kidding, of course. The president doesn't call it cocaine. He calls it high-speed rail. By the way, can you blame the guy for turning to cocaine? He must be exhausted, orchestrating four separate trials against his rival, rigging the Super Bowl, and gearing up to steal a second election. Wow.
See, it's because, you know.
I love, by the way, that Trump's two attacks on President Biden are that he's a senile old man and a criminal mastermind. I'm like, I think you gotta pick one. Personally, I don't know any criminal masterminds who bike to get ice cream.
So the argument there would probably be something to the effect of, well, it's the people behind the scenes pulling the strings, doing both, and Biden is just the inept, senile figurehead. But okay, fair enough. It's, you know, it's a fair dilemma to press, right? Biden can't be the evil mastermind and then also be this bumbling fool, unless he's putting on a show, right?
Also, it's not like Trump himself is young and sharp. I'm not saying both candidates are old, but you know Jimmy Carter is out there thinking, I could maybe win this thing. He's only 99.
Yeah, he's not even really out of it compared to that age. 716 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent. I'm glad I know I'm entertaining Jimmy, which makes me happy. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you're heading eastbound on 98, right as you pass that 87 on your left and the Navarbe's Causeway on your right, when you're rounding that bend, you can expect to see some slowdowns. We've been mentioning it all morning, and it's still going all the way to Hurlburt Field, so expect some delays there. If you're coming in from Pace and Milton, you should be clear to go. Not seeing any real slowdowns there. And I-10 southbound from North Pensacola looks like we have some slowdowns there, so you can expect some delays. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So, you know, he made a lot of jokes. I thought the jokes were actually pretty good. Okay, but then there was this whole series at the end, which he did something that I don't remember the comedians always doing. He went serious at the end. He was still, you know, making jokes, but he was talking about, like, you know, his grandfather, who was a firefighter who died this year, and praising Biden because Biden reminds him of his grandfather.
Some of your best qualities remind me of his. And I will say he was 95 and he was still great at stairs. I think it's because he didn't try to run up them.
The age and lack of grace jokes are pretty funny.
But the reason that I bring up my grandfather, and I don't know if you know, realize, Mr. President, but Staten Island firefighters are not normally your demographic.
True.
Staten Island voted about 70% for Trump in the last election, and the other 30% was for Giuliani. But Staten Island also sided with the British during the Revolutionary War. So we're not always on the right side of history. You remember.
So he's getting toward the much more serious time here because he's talking about his grandfather and Biden, and he's clearly loves Joe Biden. He's a Democrat. He says so, okay?
But my grandfather, a Staten Island firefighter, voted for you, Mr. President. He voted for you in the last election that he ever voted in. I mean, I'm sure someone else will vote twice in this election using his name, but that's just how the Democratic machine works. He voted for you, and the reason that he voted for you is because you're a decent man.
That's an interesting point for the White House press correspondents to applaud, right?
My grandpa voted for decency, and decency is why we're all here tonight. Decency is how we're able to be here tonight.
As a general note, I agree with that. More on Biden and decency in a second.
Decency is how we're able to make jokes about each other, and one of us doesn't go to prison after. We go to the Newsmax after party.
But no, that's right. Making jokes and not going to jail is something you can't do in all the countries, right?
So, Mr. President, I thank you for your decency on behalf of my grandfather, and I thank all of you, almost all of you, for your decency as well. I am very honored and grateful that you invited me here tonight. Thank you and good night.
So here's the thing. The selling point that Biden makes is for his decency, that other people make for him is his decency. You know, he's a religious man, he's a family man, he's a decent man, he's got character and all that. And he believes in sort of the old style diplomacy, you know, truth-telling version of politics. But you remember when I did that side-by-side comparison last week of the two rallies, Trump and Biden? And I just don't think you can make that claim. I think you can make it in demeanor. I think you can say that he's decent in terms of what he purports to be. But decent people don't exaggerate and lie about their opponents. And he exaggerates and lies about Trump. He doesn't have to. This is the thing that I think is amazing. I criticize Trump all the time, right? For all kinds of things that he drives me crazy about. I don't have to exaggerate for him. I don't understand why the Biden campaign, unless they just feel like they're losing and they got to try some new strategy, which is probably the truth, why they exaggerate and lie about him. But they do. Quoting things that aren't quotes, quoting things that are sort of mishmashed together or, you know, are not properly contextualized. And so you generate for me the respect of decency when you again and again and again force yourself to be charitable to people you disagree with, fair and honest. It's fine to engage in some criticism, even some loud, sarcastic, even mean criticism, if it's fair. If it's true. And what I have seen from the Biden campaign and from his presidency, especially now while he is faltering, is, you know, I'm kind, we're going to get along, I'm a bridge builder, we bring people together except when you disagree with me, which is the same old Obama playbook. Say one thing in the first half of the speech and say the exact opposite thing in the second half of the speech. We want to build bridges except for these evil Republicans. That's the message you get over and over again. I'm decent, can't trust this guy, but here I'm going to lie about this guy. So it was interesting to hear him say what he really believes. It was also, his jokes were fairly good. I would think as an event in general, it was fairly successful. I don't agree with President Trump's assessment that it wasn't funny. I don't think President Trump enjoys being made fun of. I know a lot of people don't enjoy being made fun of, but that's different from somebody being unfunny. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and installation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single-source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, save 35% on New South Window's products and installation.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
The Bible records a conversation between Jesus and Peter in which Jesus asks Peter three times, "Lovest thou me?" And three times Peter responds with, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Interestingly, after each exchange, Jesus called Peter not just to declare his love with his words, but Jesus wanted Peter to demonstrate his love with his actions. Jesus is essentially saying, don't talk about it, be about it. When you read of Peter's life in the book of Acts, you see a man who, in spite of great physical discomfort, boldly demonstrates his love for Christ. Let us learn from the example of Peter and not just declare our love for Jesus with our lips, but seek opportunities to demonstrate our love for Christ to a world who desperately needs to see bold, loving, and faithful Christians.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
You got a C+. I can't believe I cheated off of you. Excuse me for not knowing about El Salvador, like I'm ever going to Spain anyway.
Like I'm ever going to Spain anyway. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. We just watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer again yesterday. It's not a good movie. I mean, it's really not. It's but it's got some funny parts. I have to say it that way. Oh, somebody had texted me earlier that Idiocracy they found disappointing, and you know, I'm like, yeah, I get that. I get that. It's Idiocracy is the kind of movie you had to watch when you were a juvenile, sort of, or had a juvenile sense of humor, and you laughed a lot then, and now you watch it again, you're like, oh, ah, that's really on target, you know. But if you didn't watch it, then it's not a great movie. I mean, it's not an Oscar winner for sure. But it's got a couple of things in there that you think, ooh. It's really like the first 10 minutes or so, and then sort of the ongoing portrayal of where society is going. 7:26 on News Radio 92.3. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading down Highway 90 going westbound eastbound into Pensacola, you can expect to see some slowdowns in between Beulah Road and all the way to the intersection of Mobile Highway and Blue Angel Parkway. And coming into Pensacola from Pace and Milton, we are starting to see some slowdown on the bridge, so be expecting that. And coming into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze, right before the Beach Bridge on the Gulf Breeze side, you can expect some slowdowns as well. If you see anything else, please call or text the traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
An unnamed Hamas official says the Palestinian group would have no major issues with a proposal that could result in freeing the remaining 133 hostages that are still being held in Gaza. Negotiators from Egypt and Qatar are meeting in Cairo today with Secretary of State Antony Blinken. It'll be his seventh visit to the region in recent months. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Atlanta today. Her stop is the kickoff of what they're calling the Economic Opportunity Tour. She's expected to discuss small business investments and minority-owned businesses. And Elon Musk hoping to market Tesla's new advanced driver assistance systems in China. He was in Beijing over the weekend to meet with Chinese leaders, hoping to get approval for full self-driving software there.
Cool, cool. Let him test it somewhere else. That's great.
That's right. Don't use it here yet.
That's great. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:28, News Radio 92.3. Oh, good news for UWF football fans. Did you see? Holy smokes, man. Our guys are showing up in the NFL. This is actually pretty interesting. You've got Austin Reed now and Pee-wee Jarrett both. Pee-wee Jarrett posted on Twitter that he's been signed with the New York Jets. My condolences. as an undrafted free agent. After the 2024 NFL draft. He's the second UWF player to sign with the New York team. This is PNJ's Ben Rico doing good reporting here. John Giles. Oh, man, that man, John Giles, inked a deal with the New York Giants on Saturday. So blessed to have signed last night, Jarrett posted. And he's now the second former quarterback to sign as an undrafted free agent this weekend. Austin Reed, who led the Argos to the Division II National Championship in 2019, not the one we won, signed with the Chicago Bears. Again, my condolences. Bears and the Jets both picked top quarterback prospects during the draft. So, I mean, these are like, this is not an insult to Pee-wee or Austin, but, you know, this is third string backseat middle on the hump, right? Like, this is way down in the pecking order in terms of ever getting a start in the NFL. But you never know. You know, weirder things have happened, and people that they never thought would do very well. Kurt Warner, you know, managed to get a start, and they never go back, right? So, anyway, very cool. Undrafted free agents, including Matthew Goodell in 2022 with the Seahawks, De'Anthony Bell in 2022 with the Cleveland Browns, David Durden last year with the Dallas Cowboys. So, I don't know. You know, I'll take it. That's good news. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Ginger Bowden Madden, the state attorney, has now been reelected by default because nobody filed against her. Federal offices on Friday had to be filed, qualified, and didn't happen. Jim Little and the PNJ doing good reporting on this. Matt Gaetz has now earned an opponent. By the way, public defender Bruce Miller has also been reelected. I feel dumb. I didn't think the PD was an elected official. Sorry, I didn't know. Anyway, Matt Gaetz has pulled a Republican challenger, Gay Villamont. Gay Villamont is the Democratic challenger. He's also got Dimmick. I forget his first name. Aaron Dimmick has now filed to run as a Republican. But running against Gay Villamont, if he wins the primary, then you can really at that point say it. Come on, you can say it. You can say that Matt Gaetz will truly be anti-gay.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Death and devastation in Oklahoma from a tornado.
At least one person was killed in a bar, with several people also trapped inside. Two more lives were taken in Holdenville, one being a four-month-old baby, and a fourth person killed on I-35 near Marietta. The damage spans across 12 counties here in Oklahoma.
Fox Weather's Brandi Campbell in Sulphur. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in the capital, Saudi Arabia, urging Hamas to grab a ceasefire deal on the table.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel.
Secretary Blinken crediting Israel measurable progress humanitarian situation in Gaza, but wants it to do more. And former President Trump on Truth Social this morning, right? Stop the protests now. But students at GW University, they're not listening. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 72 degrees. It is mostly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. There's an investigation underway after three people were killed in a shooting on West Jackson Street over the weekend. This happened Sunday at West Jackson Square. That's right there on 65th Avenue. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says there was an adult birthday party which was happening in this area. Three victims were sitting in a parked vehicle in the parking lot there at the Jackson Square. Investigators say those shootings appeared to be a targeted ambush. Shell casings from both a rifle and a handgun were recovered at the scene. Two of those victims died there at the scene. The third was taken to a hospital where they died. Right now, there's no word on suspects in the case. If you have any information, contact the Sheriff's Office or call Crime Stoppers. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office holding a news conference later this morning regarding a recent arrest. We don't have any information on what that arrest is as of yet, but we'll let you know later today when we learn more. Two people hurt after a crash between a motorcycle and a sedan on Highway 97 in Walnut Hill. This happened at about 8 p.m. last night. North Escambia reports a sedan driven by a woman in her 80s and a motorcycle collided on Highway 97. This is just north of 99 near the Walnut Hill Mennonite Church. A man and a woman on the motorcycle were both taken to the hospital as trauma alert patients by Escambia EMS. A Pensacola man now in jail after allegedly attempting to flee from deputies on Saturday. Deputies say they attempted to stop a vehicle that 20-year-old Montrell Johnson was driving on W Street, but they say he got out of the car and ran. Eventually, deputies caught up with him at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Johnson now charged with resisting arrest, possession of marijuana with intent to distribute, and also facing charges for two previous warrants as well. Well, anybody who's enlisted in the military probably remembers their oath of enlistment, but one Tate High graduate took his in an especially memorable way on stage at the NFL draft. 19-year-old Ethan Harper graduated from Tate in 2023. Saturday, he took his oath of enlistment for the Navy at the NFL draft stage in Detroit. The oath of enlistment, a promise to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. An Escambia teenager recovering after being shot on Friday. The sheriff's office says the teen was taken to a local hospital by a family member after being shot in his thigh at Triton Circle and Michigan Avenue. Right now, there's also no word on suspects in that case. Congressman Matt Gaetz says he's secured some money for funding to start repair work on the Blue Angels hangar on board NAS Pensacola.
So the Blue Angels are in kind of an older, more rusted out hangar. We want to make sure that the Blues have a great home in Pensacola for generations to come.
That from an interview Gaetz did with Channel 3 in March, and some of the funding will be used to plan and develop improvements for the hangar, the rest used to repair damage from Hurricane Sally. It is 7:35 now at News Radio 92.3, and Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives.
If you were heading down eastbound on Highway 98. You can expect to see some of that traffic building up going into Hurlburt Field. And Pensacola looking pretty good. Just regular morning traffic building up on South Palafox Street all the way from the Brent intersection to Cervantes. So you can expect some slowdowns there. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a nice warm start to the day. Temperature is going to be humid as we head into the afternoon. Small chance of rain as we go into the evening hours. High today near 78 degrees, lows tonight near 68 degrees. As you go Monday night through Tuesday morning, we'll have about a 40% chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy skies. Tuesday afternoon, temperatures warming up near 81 degrees. Any rain we see on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon comes to an end by the evening with a low near 64. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, it is 72 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 66 in Milton. Our next news at 8, we have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Boeing has announced that it closed a deal with aero supplier GKN Aerospace and its parent company, Melrose Industries, for the plant in St. Louis. The deal immediately transitions GKN's site operations from fighter jet programs to Boeing planes. The purchase saves about 550 jobs that would have been lost if the Hazelwood Parts factory had closed at the end of this year. Philips shares have soared 46% higher after the firm agreed to a $1.1 billion settlement in the U.S. for personal injury cases linked to the recall of some of its sleep apnea devices. The company said it did not admit any fall or that any injuries were caused by its Respironic devices. Today's rebound took Philips shares to their highest level since March of 2022. Futures are slightly higher. Yes, Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 153, the NASDAQ up 316. That's Your Money Now.
Always stay sharp, alert, and ready for anything. Let the exceptional team at Jim's Firearms help you find the everyday carry knife that fits your life. They have the best brands and the largest selection of high-quality knives to choose from with lifetime warranties. Get yourself a multi-purpose knife to use for protection, hunting, fishing, or for everyday use. Keys, wallet, phone, and knife, never leave home without it. Jim's Firearms at the corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road at the back gate of NAS, or shop them online at jimsfirearms.net.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pensacola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Severe weather can strike at any time. At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
These students' First Amendment rights are being violated?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are criticizing a nation state for their actions in war, not criticizing a faith that is very close to me.
I don't believe that, you know, advocating for the rights of the Palestinian people are inherently anti-Semitic, but some of these chants and some of the ways in which that they attribute and target Jewish students, that is anti-Semitic.
These administrators and the presidents of these universities are weak, they're scared, and they don't do anything. You know, you do that in Florida at our universities, we're showing you the door. You're gonna be expelled when you're doing that stuff.
So, this is business of what's going on in the college campuses. I know I haven't talked an awful lot about this. Honestly, I've been trying to figure out my own reaction to it because I have a lot of thoughts about this, as I think would not surprise you. But there's a lot to be said and a lot of nuance to it because a lot very much depends on what's actually being done, what's actually being said. Of course, the news now is, for example, that University of Florida has warned its students on Friday that they could be suspended or banished for 3 years if they violate rules about camping, use of bullhorns, protesting inside of buildings, or possessing weapons. Employees can be terminated for similar infractions. 50 people have been seen protesting on the Gainesville campus since Wednesday. You have, you know, some places are closing off their campus to visitors. Some places are trying to kick out all the you know, people staying overnight. Some people are going on remote learning. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You know, whether it's George Washington University, Cal Poly, USC, Ohio State, Emory, Northwestern, just across the nation. You know, we are dealing with this challenge of what to do with all of these protesters. And the problem is that they're not just protesters. I mean, you actually have some places where they've been, you know, threatened with expulsion or threatened with, being suspended. Barnard, a women's college in Columbia, has suspended more than 50 students who were arrested. It looks like maybe they've got agreements to let them all come back to campus, so it might be first reaction, and then they change that. Vandy in Tennessee has issued the only student expulsions that are known. They've got 24 students occupying the university chancellor's office for several hours on the 26th of March. They summoned police, arrested several protesters, then issued 3 expulsions, 1 suspension, and put 22 protesters on probation. So you have a lot of mixture here, okay? Mixture of issues, mixture of what's being said and done, and mixture of behavior. And that's the challenge of giving a here's what to think about these cases. It honestly, it kind of reminds me of January 6th in some ways. And here's what I mean by that. Some of the people involved in January 6th were outside and did nothing illegal and were purely there to protest or demonstrate in favor of President Trump. Okay? Some people got inside the Capitol, but all they did was trespass. Like, they didn't do anything else. Some people got in and destroyed property and, you know, hurt people. And some people were trying to do an insurrection. A very small number of people, in my opinion, but certainly some were. So how do you describe an event like that? Well, it's all of those things, right? And that's, I think, fair to say about these protests as well. You have some fully peaceful protesters at one end of the spectrum who legitimately their only reason for being there is they believe that Israel is overreacting and hurting Gaza in an unjustified, illegal, maybe war crimes-esque manner. That's their view. They think that the innocent people who are being killed in Gaza are being killed by illegal or immoral decisions by the Israeli government, and they want to protest that. And people who peacefully want to take that position on a college campus, I'm with you in protecting your right to do so. I am. Of course. Peaceful protest about an international political event? That is exactly what the First Amendment is there to protect. At the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are engaging in criminal vandalism, destruction of property, into the seven figures in some of these cases, threatening, perhaps hurting people, resisting arrest. And, I mean, those are just straight-up crimes. There's no First Amendment protection for you. Somewhere between those two extremes, you have what I still think is very extreme, is you have people who are advocating for the genocide of Jews. They're not engaging in other illegal acts. I say that very carefully. They're not, you know, the question whether that's illegal, we'll talk about. But they're not, you know, defacing property, interfering with people. They're not threatening or menacing. They're saying something vile. They're saying either that Jews don't have a right to exist or that Israel doesn't have a right to exist, or as some of the signs that I'm actually looking at from Cal Poly, push them out. There are more of you than there are of them, which you sometimes hear synopsized in the expression from the river to the sea. The river is the Jordan River. The sea is the Mediterranean. Okay. The idea is to push all the Israelis into the ocean that it is only Arabs, what you might today call Palestinians, although I think that's a term fraught with a lot of politics and baggage. But okay, they want to eliminate the state of Israel. They think that Israel is the occupier. And there's a lot of conversation you can have about that. But they either are anti-Zionist, anti-Israel, or anti-Jew, anti-Semitic, or both. And sometimes the way they express that view is really, really vile. Sometimes they might be a little more nuanced about it, and they might simply describe Israel as occupiers. And then the question, you start to ask the question, where do you think the Jews ought to be able to live? Do you think Jews ought to have a homeland? Where should that be? You probe a little bit. But, okay, so let's call that the sort of, it's not in the middle technically, but it's more to the middle than obviously engaging in, you know, outright violence and defacing of property. Should that be illegal? Should the police be cracking down on those people? Should college presidents be cracking down on students or teachers who advocate for Israel to not exist? That's a very interesting question. My answer would be, oh, yes. I hate to have to say it because I prefer to say all free speech is free speech. But I tell you, there are certain things you advocate for. And if what you're advocating for is, again, you know, racial genocide of a country, yeah, I can't support that because that would be a crime to engage in. I'm the guy who typically, I want to say, if you're a racist and you want to say racist things again, like say a white supremacist, you don't want to say racist things against black people, man, I think you're an idiot, you're evil, you're not Christian, you don't understand what God has said about these things over time, and, you know, you're vile and disgusting. But the First Amendment protects you. I want to say that. But there are times when even I look at some of the expressions of those things and think, man, I don't even know that I want to say that. And when it comes to the history of anti-Semitism in this world, whether it's back to Pharaoh or whether it's Herod or whether it's Hitler or today, in varying degrees, there's something uniquely vile about anti-Semitism. And because it has been used as the pretext for killing millions upon millions of Jews historically, I'm very open to the claim that maybe that speech shouldn't be legal. You know, in Germany, you can't. Like, in Germany, you can't advocate for Nazism. And typically, Americans look at that and say, why don't they believe in free speech? I'm like, they have reasons. You know, they have reasons. Okay? Reasons that make pretty good sense. And I tell you, watching these people on these college campuses, some of whom I want to protect, if all they're engaging in is a political conversation about their view about Israel and the war in Gaza, but an awful lot of whom are engaged in disgusting expressions, potentially criminal expressions, advocating for genocide. I think that's like one of those, man, I don't know whether that's protected speech or not. Because you can't engage in genocide. You can't engage in murder. Advocacy of certain crimes starts to become a crime itself, right? You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Can you yell Jews are evil in a crowded Columbia campus? I mean, that's kind of the question you want to ask. So the reason I haven't talked about this a lot is because I've been trying to figure out exactly what I think about it and what I wanted to say about it. But that's where I land. So would I call in the police to just arrest everybody? No. Would I call in the police to clear the campus, depending on the circumstance? Yeah. But it's going to be pretty context specific. Locally, I thought Mike Papantonio's comments on Channel 3 were interesting.
Until we can get their attention where the government does their job and says, you know what? This is not a breeding ground for anarchism. This is not a breeding ground for a jihad against the Israel. This is not a breeding ground to where any jackleg can simply take to the streets and say whatever they want to say, incite whatever they want to cite. This is not 1960s anymore.
Yeah, again, I'm sympathetic to that. I tend to lean that way, but it's always one of those, I'd like to be an absolutist about speech issues. You can't be an absolutist about speech issues. There are some limits. But the things that I'm willing to protect are things that, you know, I mean, blasphemy, I protect blasphemy, sure, of course. But, you know, then again, you know, you look at the penalty for blasphemy in the Bible is, I mean, it's a death penalty. You know, so it's not so great, right? But so in America, we certainly have a value for free speech, but there are certainly going to be some limits. This one comment I thought was particularly noteworthy. This is from a student. This is NBC did this.
When have students ever been protesting and you look back and you say, oh, no, they were wrong. We know we are on the right side of history.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I don't know. Some of the protests around the Supreme Court and abortion, some of the Black Lives Matter protests, you know, Ferguson, you were wrong about Ferguson. The Department of Justice under Obama actually said you were wrong about Ferguson. Vietnam, I think you could have a conversation about whether the protests around Vietnam were right or wrong. But as one person just texted and said, you know, look, all of these complex issues, you have individuals that might be doing things in that are fully appropriate. But it's when you get groups of people together in large numbers that they start to be almost incapable of appropriate behavior. And that's true, too. And I think, look, this is also fair to say, there's a kind of a mob mindset that takes place. There's also a, hey, I want to be part of the party mindset that takes place. Black Lives Matter protests, there was absolutely a lot of people. There were absolutely a lot of people who were involved in that that, hey, this is happening. I want to be in it. You know, it's a something to do. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the excitement of being able to say that I was in the protest or I was on the college campuses protesting Israel. I mean, just, again, there's a lot of particular things to be said about what people are doing. And, you know, if you ignore that part of it, I think you're ignoring a slice of what's actually happening. You know, why is this happening? Solidarity out of, you know, well-informed students who know their history and know the context and are expressing a nuanced political opinion? No, there's a party at the Quad. Let's go be part of it, right? Or, you know, and this is also true, guys who want dates. You know, why? Why do guys engage in politics? Sometimes to get a chick. I mean, that's also true. There's a lot to be said. 437-1620, I'm Andrew McKay.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. Today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Pep Talk. What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10:30 and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What are we doing here?
You promised you'd visit the penguin the day you got out.
Yeah? So I lied to him.
You can't lie to a nun.
You Good morning, 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy has got traffic on the fives. Jimmy? Did I catch you off guard?
Yes, you did.
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I should be more prepared. If you are heading eastbound on 98, we have been saying this all morning, but there is a traffic buildup going into Hurlburt Field, so be expecting some delays there. And coming into Pace and Milton, you can expect some delays right at the end of the bridge coming into Pensacola, right where that scenic highway intersection is. And it looks like we got some traffic building up all over downtown, but specifically on Cervini Street going both east and westbound. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
University campuses across the country remain tense as protests against the Israel-Gaza war continue, pushing back against both police and college administrations. NBC's Adrian Broaddus reports.
Across the country this weekend, hundreds arrested or detained for protesting on campuses from Arizona to Missouri, where 80 people were arrested at Washington University.
And last night, Virginia Tech was the scene of several arrests as police removed protesters from an encampment there. Police gave protesters 5 minutes to clear the area. Right now, there's no word on how many people they did arrest. Harvey Weinstein, now out of the hospital and back in prison. The 72-year-old former Hollywood producer spent part of the weekend in a Manhattan hospital for testing. He'll be back in criminal court this week. The district attorney's office says they intend to retry him after his 2020 rape conviction was overturned. And drivers in North Bend, Washington were doing some double takes over the weekend. Apparently, they came across a bunch of zebras off to the side of the highway.
Seen every day.
Yeah,
you know, never.
Yeah, not something you see too often.
In where? Washington?
North Bend, Washington. Apparently, there was a truck hauling four zebras from, I don't know, a private owner or something.
I guess.
They stopped on the side of the road at maybe a rest stop or something, and somehow the zebras escaped from the back of this livestock trailer they were in and just took off.
So this would be zebras who had been convicted for crimes requiring more than 1 year of incarceration. That's why they were dressed in prison attire.
Obviously,
they had to
escape
from the truck. Okay, all right, fair enough. I got you.
But they were all corralled and safely returned. So
good.
That's the good
news. So no more threat to public safety from the criminal white and black deer. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:57 on News Radio 92.3. This is okay. This is Jimmy. Are you a TikTok? Do you have TikTok on your phone?
Absolutely not.
Oh, good. Good for you.
I'm a 28-year-old man.
Okay. What percent of TikTok diet and nutrition trends or advice is accurate according to actual health and medical professionals? What percent?
I'm going to say...
You can't go low enough.
Okay.
I'll warn you. No, seriously. What percent?
In between 0 and 1%.
It's 2%.
2%?
It's 2%.
Wow.
A solid 2% is reliable. But yet, 57% of respondents, 2,000 millennial and Gen Z TikTok users, are there others? Respondents said they have been influenced by or frequently tried nutrition trends they saw on the platform. 67,000 videos conducted. They conducted an analysis with AI. Here's the truth. Here's what the videos say. What do you think? Said that less than 2% is actually reliable. More than 2/3 said they tried at least one of the viral ideas a few times weekly. Also, 30% say they try it despite potential health risks.
Oh, good.
Good Lord. Oh, it gets worse. You ready? Pew Research from 2023 indicates that the number of U.S. adults regularly getting their news from TikTok has quadrupled in 3 years. 3% in 2020, 14% in 2023, about a third. 32% of people between 18 and 29, under 30s, report regularly getting their news from TikTok.
I had to mute my mic because I'm hitting my head against it.
Friends don't let friends use TikTok for now.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.